Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the 10th episode of the 18th topic. We are discussing the isnad of the 7 canonical readings, and in the previous sessions we had discussed 6 of the readers, and today we will take up Abdullah ibn Amir al-Yahsubi, who is a reciter of Syria. And as you know, that these are the famous 7 reciters who have been selected and chosen by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabah. And since then, these 7 have come to be regarded as the most important reciters of the Quran. We have already seen in the past 9 episodes that all the earlier 6 reciters who have been discussed, and none of their chains of narration reached Tawatur. It's a far cry from Tawatur, and even as far as the Ahad nature is concerned, that too is severely damped by the fact that many of these readings end out to be munkata. So today we're going to take up Abdullah ibn Amir al-Yahsubi, and a very small biographical introduction to him is that it is known that he was born in Rahab, which is the city of Balqa, and he grew up in Damascus. Now, there is a difference of opinion regarding the year of his birth, but the authorities are unanimous that he died in 118 Hijra. Now, one of the opinions is that he was born 2 years before the death of the Prophet, and another is that he was born in 21 Hijra. So these are the two major opinions, but as far as death is concerned, he died in 118 Hijra. It is said that he succeeded Abu Idris al-Khawlani as the Qazi of Damascus. And according to Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat al-Kubra, he said that he has also narrated a few ahadith. So this is as far as some biographical information regarding Abdullah ibn Amir is concerned. Next, we shall take up his teachers who have been reported in history, and we shall take up, as is our custom, both teachers which have been reported through an isnad-based content, as well as those teachers who have been reported without any isnad-based content. Now, as far as the isnad-based teachers are concerned, you can see there are 3 of them. Their names are being displayed before you. The 3 of them are, the first is Usman ibn Affan, then we have Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and the third is Abu Darda. So these are the 3 teachers which we find in historical works and earliest biographical works which are supported through isnad. Now we take up some of the other teachers who have been reported without any isnad-based content, and some of them are common as well to this. So Ibn al-Jazri says that there are 9 opinions regarding his teachers, and the most correct of them is that he read out the Quran to Al-Mughira. So he has already been mentioned earlier on in the isnad-based content. So Ibn al-Jazri says that the most correct of them is that he read out the Quran to Al-Mughira. The second opinion is that he read out to Abu Darda, and this is not improbable. Again, Abu Darda is another person whom we see that he is supported through isnad-based content as well. The third is that he read out to Fuzala ibn Ubaid, and this is very sound. It says Jayyid, but again, we do not have any chain of narration or isnad in this regard. The fourth one is that he heard the qira'ah of Usman, and this is doubtful. And the words used are muhtamil. And again, as far as Usman is concerned, he is also, as you would just recall, I had mentioned him amongst those teachers who were reported through isnad-based content as well. So both, all these 3, Abu Darda, Usman and Al-Mughira, they have been mentioned here, but all 3 of them have also been reported through isnad-based content. But we are enumerating the opinions which Ibn al-Jazri has cited in his Al-Ghayatul Nihaya. So the 5th one is that he read out a part of the Quran to Usman, and this is possible. The 6th one is that he read out the Quran to Wasila ibn al-Asqa, radiyallahu anha, and this is not improbable. La yamtanau are the words which have been used. The 7th one is that he read out the whole of the Quran to Usman, and this is improbable and not proven. Ba'idun wala yuthbit are the words which have been used. The 8th one is that he read out the Quran to Muawiyah, and this is not correct. He read the Quran to Muawiyah, and this is not correct. And the words used are la yasihu. The 9th one is that he read out the Quran to Muaz, and this is baseless. This is wahin. So these are the 9 opinions which Ibn al-Jazri has recorded, and we have various comments on this as well, but primarily we can see that these are the people, the 9 opinions vis-a-vis the teachers of Abdullah bin Amr, and the three of amongst these nine are the three also mentioned who are already supported through isnad-based content. We shall take them up separately. Now, it may be added here that Az-Zahabi has denied the report of Abu Ali Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Asbahani that Abdullah ibn Amr read the reading of or heard the reading of Ali ibn Mas'ud and Zayd. So this is a denial here, and this has been recorded by Az-Zahabi in his Ma'rifatu Qurra al-Kibar. Now, it can also be noted that Az-Zahabi has recorded Abu Ali al-Ahwazi, his opinion according to whom there are 12 views regarding the teachers of Ibn Amr regarding his reading. So we have Zahabi recording the view of Abu Ali al-Ahwazi regarding the 12 possible opinions regarding the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr. I'm just going to briefly allude to these 12 opinions as well. So the first one is that he read out Usman. The second is that he heard the reading of Usman, رضي الله عنه. The third is the teacher is not specified. It is said that Ibn Amr read out to a person whom Ayyub did not name. The fourth is that the teacher is again not specified. It is said that Ibn Amr read out to a person who read out to Usman. The fifth opinion is Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. He is again one of those mentioned amongst these isnad-based content. The sixth one is Abu Darda, Rizala Anhu. Again, he is one of those people who have been mentioned in the isnad-based content. The seventh is Mu'az ibn Jabal. The eighth is Fuzala ibn Ubaid. The ninth is that he was the originator of his reading and did not name his teacher and said that this is the reading of the people of Syria. So he was in fact the originator of his reading. The 10th is Muawiyah, رضي الله عنه. The 11th is Wasila ibn al-Asqa. And the 12th is Wasila ibn al-Asqa and Muawiyah. They have been stated together. So this is what Abu Ali al-Ahwazi has reported. But I have already reported the severe jarh on him earlier on when we were discussing Abu Amr ibn al-Ula. So therefore, amongst these opinions that he has named, only those opinions can be regarded to be of any substance in which we find corroboration from some of the other authorities. So you can clearly see that the problem here is that Abu Ali al-Ahwazi is a person who cannot be trusted, and if he has enumerated these 11 or 12 opinions, then only those of these opinions shall stand or carry any weight which have been reported by other reliable authorities. So this was as far as a general comment on the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr was concerned by various authorities, in which, in fact, teachers supported through isnad and not supported through isnad, both were discussed. But primarily, what I wanted to point out is that all these opinions actually relates to opinions in which isnads were not given, actually. So the isnad-based content was not given. It was just that they were pointed out that these are the teachers as well. But earlier on, I have already cited three prominent authorities who have been recorded to be teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr on isnad-based content. So that is now what we're going to take up. Now, we're going to take up the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amr who have been reported through isnad-based content. The first one and the first teacher who has been reported of Abdullah ibn Amr is Usman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه. And now, let me read out the narratives which record his name to be a teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir. So the words are, An Abdullah ibn Amir qal, Sallaytu khalfa Usman, Fasami'tuhu yaqra hazal huruf, Illa man igtarafa ghurfatam bizammil ghain, which would mean, Illa man igtarafa ghurfatan bizammil ghain, which means that the way I have pronounced it, with the zamma on ghain. So this has been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan fil-Qira' al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. So a translation of this narrative would be, Abdullah ibn Amr said, I prayed behind Usman and heard him say this recital. He's just now, he has actually conveyed this recital, which is of a single, actually a part of a verse in Surah Baqarah. It says, Illa man ightarafa ghurfatan. So as I said, with a zamma on ghain. So the word ghurfa has been read. You can see, viewers, it's the chain of narration of this narrative being displayed before you. Now, the problem with this chain of narration is that narrative or this chain of narration is broken because Dani has not specified who has reported this to him from Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd al-Naqash. As you can see, the chain of narration actually began with the words وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ الْحَسَنَ النَّقَّاشِ. So Muhammad ibn Hasan al-Nakkash actually died in 351 Hijra. So that's an important point to know and to note. And whereas Dani was born in 371 Hijra. So if Dani has reported this narrative without any intermediary between him and al-Nakkash, so we can clearly see a case of inqita here, because Dani was not even born when Nakkash had died. And Nakkash had already died, and Dani was born actually approximately 20 years later. So this is a basic flaw in this narrative. Now, another jarrah which is recorded about the latter by Az-Zahabi is that At-Talha ibn Muhammad ibn Shahid says that he lies in hadith. So we are discussing Muhammad ibn Ziyad al-Nakkash. Al-Hasan, actually his name is Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Ziyad al-Nakkash. He is the person who Dani has, from whom Dani has recorded without specifying who the person is between him and a Nakkash. Now we're discussing the jarh on Nakkash himself, and this has been pointed out by Zahabi in his Mizan al-I'tidal. So he says that Talha ibn Muhammad ibn Shahid says that he lies in hadith and storytelling has overwhelmed him. Al-Barqani opines that every narrative of a Nakkash is munkar. Abul Qasim expresses the view that the tafsir of a Nakkash called Shifa al-Sudur, which means healer of hearts, is actually Ishqa al-Sudur, which would mean hardener of hearts. Instead of healing hearts, it hardens the hearts. And does not in any way heal the hearts. That is what he has said. And Az-Zahabi goes on to say, again in his this time in his Tazkiratul Huffaz, that this comment of Abul Qasim is because of the concocted narratives found in this tafsir. So the reason that Abul Qasim expresses this is that there are a number of concocted, fabricated, made-up narratives in this tafsir. Az-Zahabi also says that in spite of his high stature, he is matrukul hadith and his situation is worse in qira'ah. And obviously when he says that he's matrukul hadith, it refers to hadith, but he says that in the case of qira'ah, he's even worse. He further records the opinion of Al-Khatib, who says that his narratives contain manakir. So this is as far as Nakkash is concerned. Let us now move on to the next narrative. And viewers, this narrative has been recorded by Ad-Dani also in his Jami' al-Bayan fil Qira' al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. So the narrative says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الْوَلِيدُ بْنُ مُسْلُمَ أَنْ يَحْيَى بْنُ الْحَارِثِ أَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَامِرَ أَنَّهُ قَرَأَ عَلَى عُثْمَانَ. So, Al-Walid ibn Muslim narrated to us, actually his words have been reported by Hisham ibn Ammar. So we can say that Hisham actually said that Al-Walid ibn Muslim narrated to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reported from Abdullah ibn Amr that he, or Abdullah ibn Amr, read out the Quran to Usman رضي الله عنه. Now you can see the chain of narration of this narrative being displayed before you. Now, while commenting on the above report, Ad-Dani writes, now I'm just going to cite Ad-Dani, what he has written in this regard. He says, هَكَذَا قَالَ هِشَامًا عَنِ الْوَلِيدِ وَخَالَفَهُ عَنْهُ إِسْحَاقِ ابْنُ أَبِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فَوَافَقَ عِرَاقًا عَلَى رَوَايَتِهِ. Now, this is something which we must note. It is very important. This, and the simple translation of this would be that this is what is reported by Hisham from Al-Walid, the fact that he has directly... the Abdullah ibn Amr has directly read from Usman. But Ishaq ibn Abi Israel has reported from Al-Walid, the same person. So Al-Walid is the person from whom Hisham has reported that he read out, that Abdullah ibn Amr read out the Quran directly to Usman. But there's another report which has been reported by Ishaq ibn Abi Israel from Walid, which is contrary to this. And in this contrary report, Ishaq and Iraq is another person, they are both unanimous that Abdullah ibn Amr actually read out to Al-Mughira, and Al-Mughira read out to Usman. So we can see that there is an initial difference here, which has been recorded, that there is one narrator who says that it is Abdullah ibn Amr who directly read out to Usman, but we have another person telling us from the same person, actually the person who's reporting initially is Walid ibn Muslim. But from him, one authority says that he read out directly, and that is actually what has been reported by Hisham from Al-Walid. But When Ishaq ibn Abi Israel reports from Al-Walid, he says, no, it's actually Abdullah ibn Amr reading out first to Al-Mughira, so we have someone in between, and then Al-Mughira actually reading out to Usman. Now, Ad-Dani also records a narrative in which Hisham ibn Ammar says that the narrative of Iraq ibn Khalid from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reports from Abdullah ibn Amr, is more correct than the one in which Al-Walid ibn Muslim reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reports from Abdullah ibn Amr. So this is because the latter actually states that Abdullah ibn Amr read out the Quran to Usman, and the former states that Abdullah ibn Amr read out to Al-Mughira, who read out to Usman. So this is something which we just need to keep in mind, that as far as the sounder report is concerned, which Dani has recorded while commenting on these, is that the sounder one is the one which says that actually Abdullah ibn Amr read out to Mughira and Mughira read out to Usman. But besides this fact, let us now discuss the weakness found in the chain of narration of this narrative. Now, the first important thing, viewers, here is that there's no tawseek available on Ibrahim ibn Abbad at-Tamimi. Now, you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow, red arrow. So, Ibrahim ibn Abbad at-Tamimi, there is no tawseek available on him. And since we do not positively know whether he can be regarded as a reliable narrator or not, we cannot consign him to the reliable category, and therefore we have to consign him to the majhul category. Now, it may also be noted that Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as a separate entry. It is evident from Ibn Asakir's description about him that he is actually majhulul an as well, because the only person to narrate from him is Abu Ishaq Ibrahim Ibn Abd al-Razzaq, and he is presumably mentioned as Abu Abd al-Razzaq in the same isnad that we have just indicated. So he actually, Ibn Asakir actually says that he is majhulul ayn, because it's just a single person narrates from him, from Ibrahim ibn Abbad al-Tamimi. Now, the other problem, viewers, in this chain of narration is that Hisham ibn Ammar, as you can see that he also figures in the chain of narration, he was stricken with a bad memory in his later age, in his old age, and therefore had become unreliable at that time. But we cannot ascertain from our given sources at this time whether Ibrahim ibn Abbad heard from him before this time or after this time. Now, you can see from the chain of narration that Ibrahim ibn Abbad al-Tamimi, who himself is suspect, but he has heard from Hisham ibn Ammar, but we cannot ascertain when was this time, whether it was in the time when Hisham was stricken with a bad memory in his old age or whether it was earlier. And hence, this is, of course, a further weakness in the narrative, because as long as we are not sure whether Ibrahim ibn Abbad heard from Hisham in his times when his memory had not left him, this cannot be positively ascertained, and therefore this will remain a question mark. Moreover, viewers, Hisham ibn Ammar himself is a person who is suspect, and I would now like to let you know some of the comments of Al-Mizzi on his personality, which he has recorded in his Tehzib al-Kamal. So Abu Dawud says that Hisham has narrated 400 narratives supported by Isnad which have no basis. Abu Hatim says that when he grew old, he was afflicted with a bad memory and would narrate everything that was given to him, and every time he was suggested something, he would accept it without investigation. And the words are kullama lukkina talakkana. So whenever he would be suggested something, he would just report it further without investigating whether it was correct or not. Az-Zahabi records about Hisham ibn Ammar that he narrates uncommon things, and the words are lahu ma yunkar. And this Az-Zahabi has recorded in his Mizan al-Itidal. Viewers, let us now move on to the next person who has been reported as the teacher of Abdullah ibn Amr. We have just discussed Usman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu as the first teacher who has been discussed as a person who has been reported in biographical works, in historical works, on the basis of an isnad. We now come to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shihab, who died in 91 Hijra. So let us now discuss isnads which tell us, or which inform us, that he was also a teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir. Now, you can see the first actually narration is by Yahya ibn al-Haris, and it has more than one account. So the first of them, or more than one variation. So the first of them, you can see, is being displayed before you. And the words are, it actually says that Sahli ibn Subayh al-Mari says, قال سمعت يحيى بن الحارث الزماري قال قرأت على عبد الله بن عامر اليحسبي وقرأ عبد الله على المغيرة بن أبي شهاب المخزومي وقرأ المغيرة على عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. This narrative view has been recorded by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sab'a. So the words are, Yahya ibn al-Haris said, I read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Amir al-Yahsubi, and Abdullah ibn Amir al-Yahsubi read it out to Mughira ibn Abi Shihab al-Makhzumi, and al-Mughira read it out to Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And you can see, viewers, that this chain of narration is being displayed before you. The problem in this chain of narration, viewers, is the personality of Iraq ibn Khalid. Now, according to Abu Hatim, he is Mustarib al-Hadith Laysa bil-Qawi. So this has been recorded by his son, Ibn Abi Hatim, in the famous book, Al-Jahr wa Ta'adil. So in the opinion of Ibn Hibban, Rubbama Aghraba wa Khalafa. Ibn Hajar records that Abu Ja'far al-Tabri said that the person who has narrated from, that Ibn Amr read out to the Quran to Al-Mughira Ibn Abi Shahab, and then that Al-Mughira read it out to Usman is Majhul. So he says that the person who says that Abdullah ibn Amr read out, that Abdullah ibn Amr actually read out to Al-Mughira and Al-Mughira read it out to Usman, he is a Majhul person who transmits narratives nor as a reciter of the Quran. So he's neither known as a person who transmits narratives, he's Majhul in the opinion of Abu Ja'far, because he's a person who transmits narratives, he does not transmit any narrative, nor is he a reciter of the Quran, and his name is actually Iraq ibn Khalid. And we will discuss the critique of Tabri in detail in the coming sessions, because this needs separate mention. But here I've just mentioned it in a small passing way. Now, also viewers, present in this chain of narration is Hisham ibn Ammar. You can see that his name is being indicated. We know that he was stricken with a bad memory in his old age and therefore had become unreliable at that time. But here you can see that it is not possible to ascertain whether Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Bikr, who actually heard from Hisham ibn Ammar, whether it was the time in which Hisham's memory was sound or not. So therefore, this is a further weakness in this narrative. Also, viewers, of importance is to note that Yahya ibn al-Haris is not contemporaneous to some of the information that he is transmitting. Whatever he's saying is he's contemporaneous too. And this includes the fact that Al-Mughira reading out the Quran to Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. We know that Yahya ibn al-Haris was born in 55 Hijra and he died in 145 Hijra. And therefore, the fact that Al-Mughira reading out to Usman ibn Affan, because Usman obviously died in 35 or 36 Hijra, so he could never have been contemporaneous to this information, because he was not even born in that time. Now, viewers, let us discuss the next narrative in this regard. And this narrative has several tahwils, and you can see when you will later see the chart of being displayed before you. But let me just read it out from where it has been reported by Yahya ibn al-Haris. So the words are, قالوا حدثنا هشام بن عمار قال حدثنا عراق بن خالد قال سمعت يحيى بن الحارث الزماري قال قرأت على عبد الله بن عامر اليحسبي وقرأ عبد الله بن عامر على المغيرة بن أبي شهاب المخزومي وقرأ المغيرة على عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه. So يحيى بن الحارث said, I read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Amir, and he read it out to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shihab, and Al-Mughira read it out to Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. So viewers, you can see the chain of narration of this rather comprehensive narrative being displayed before you. It has been reported by Dani through five tahwils. And we also have another chain of narration, Isnad, which has been recorded by Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Madinah Dimash. And you can see now the comprehensive chart being displayed before you. So let us start analyzing the narrators of this chart. First of all, viewers, is Iraq ibn Khalid. You can see that he is the person who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris. And he has, the jar on him has already presented earlier. I've just presented the jar on him, and we can see how badly he is criticized. Now, viewers, the thing that we need to understand is there are at least six people. There are six people who report from Hisham ibn Ammar. And these six are Ahmad ibn Anas ibn Malik al-Muqri. Then we have Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Bikr. Then we have Ibrahim ibn Abbad. Then we have Ahmad ibn al-Mu'alla. Then we have Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Baghindi. And then finally we have Muhammad ibn al-Mu'afi. So these are the six people who report from Hisham ibn Ammar. But the problem again here is that we cannot ascertain whether these six people report from Hisham ibn Ammar when he was in his sounder years, when he was a person who had a sound memory, or whether these six people report from him when he had become a person who had lost his memory or he had been inflicted with a bad memory. The other problem here, viewers, is the personality of the other aspects of Hisham ibn Ammar's personality, which I have already discussed earlier. So therefore, this also is something which needs to be taken into account. Also, viewers, of importance is to note that Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Baghindi is very suspect. Now, you can see that his name is being displayed in the chart before you and indicated also. Now let me just point out some of the jarh that has been pointed out vis-a-vis his personality. So Az-Zahabi, in his Mizan al-Itidal records, he is a mudallis. And there is some defect in him. So the words that he is uses, fihi shay, there's some problem with him. Ismaili says that he is a dirty mudallis. And the word that he uses are that khabisut tadlis. And he is also a musahif, which means that he actually is a person who badly records things, who is guilty of tasheef, in which he changes or he is guilty of changing the script or the spellings of the words that he records or the names that he records, which make them actually into new names or confused statements. Al-Darakutni says that he is mukhtalitun mudallis, and that he would write something from one of his companions and then erase three people between this person and his own sheikh and would make a lot of errors. Ibrahim al-Asbahani is of the opinion that he is a great liar. He's a kazzab. Now, it may further be noted, viewers, that there's no tawseek available on Ibrahim ibn Abbad at-Tamimi. Therefore, he is majhul. It may be noted that Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as a separate entry. And I have already pointed this out earlier, I'm just repeating this, that Ibrahim ibn Abbad al-Tamimi, there's no tawseek available on him, and I have already pointed out the fact that Ibn Asakir says that there's only one person who narrates from him, actually, and therefore he is a person who is majhul al-ayn as well. Moreover, I have already pointed this out earlier, but I have to make this point again in this case as well, that Yahya ibn Haris is not contemporaneous to some of the information that he's transmitting in this narrative. We know that he was born in 55 Hijra, Yahya ibn Haris. But the problem here is that he is saying that Mughira, who died in 91 Hijra, read it out to Usman ibn Affan. So he, of course, could not have been contemporaneous to this information because Usman died in 35 Hijra or 36 Hijra, and Yahya ibn Haris actually was born in 55 Hijra. So 20 years were between the two. And there's no way in the world that he could have reported this without someone else reporting it to him. He was not a direct witness to this event. So this is the problem, viewers, as far as this narrative is concerned. Let us move on to the next narrative in this regard. And if you recall, we are discussing the second of teachers of Abdullah ibn Amir, and he's Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shihab. So this third narrative, viewers, is reported by Abu Ubaid in his Fazail al-Quran. You can see that it's the narrative being displayed before you. I'm going to read it from where it is reported. So it says, سمعت يحيى بن الحارث الزماري يقول كنت ختمت القرآن على عبد الله بن عامر اليحسبي وقرأه عبد الله بن عامر على المغيرة بن أبي شهاب المخزومي وقرأه المغيرة على عثمان ابن عفان لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ أَحَدٌ. So Yahya ibn al-Haris said, I finished the Quran with Abdullah ibn Amir, and he read it out to al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and al-Mughira read it out to Usman ibn Affan, and there was none between them. This has been recorded by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid. You can see its chain of narration now being displayed before you, viewers. And the problem with this chain of narration, viewers, is that the existence of Iraq ibn Khalid. And we have already presented, the jar on him. Now, the other problem, viewers, here is that it cannot be ascertained whether Abu Ubaid heard from Hisham ibn Ammar before he was stricken with a bad memory in his old age. So again, since in this narrative you can see that Hisham ibn Ammar is actually reporting this narrative, and he's reporting this narrative from Iraq ibn Khalid, but we cannot know whether Abu Ubaid heard this narrative from Hisham ibn Ammar when Hisham had a sound memory or not. So therefore, this is a further weakness in this narrative as well. Or furthermore, viewers, as is the case with the previous narrative, here again we find that Yahya ibn al-Haris is transmitting some information to which he's not contemporaneous to, and the most important in this that is that Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab read out the Quran to Usman ibn Affan. So as I just pointed out, Usman died in 36 Hijrah and Yahya ibn al-Haris was born in 55 or 56 Hijrah. So therefore, the fact that Mughira read out the Quran to Usman ibn Affan is something to which Yahya would never have been contemporaneous to, because he was not even born at that time. 20 years elapsed between Usman's death and his own birth, and Yahya's birth. So viewers, I'm going to end my talk here in this episode till now, because I would like to present some more data in the next episode vis-a-vis the fact that Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab is a teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir today. In this episode, we have discussed Usman ibn Affan, the fact that he was a teacher through Isnad based content, and we have seen that none of the narratives hold any ground. And we have started to discuss the second teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir, reported through Isnad based content, and he is Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. And we have discussed some of the narratives regarding the fact that he was a teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir. We will discuss some more narratives later on in the next episodes, which describe that he's also a teacher. But we'll take up of Abdullah ibn Amir. But we'll take up that particular content later on. And also, viewers, we have discussed earlier on some of the general comments that have been made by authorities vis-a-vis the teachers of Abdullah ibn Amir, which included teachers who are reported through Isnad-based content, and which also included teachers who are reported without any Isnad-based content. And when I mention teachers who are not based through or who are not reported through any Isnad-based content, my purpose is more academic, as I pointed out repeatedly, that we will not entertain teachers who have been merely reported and no Isnad is reported to support them, but their names have been mentioned for academic purposes only. Now, to us, or to me, the importance lies in those teachers who have been reported through Isnad-based content, and that is why we are analyzing that content in detail. Inshallah, we'll take up the remaining data in this regard in the coming episodes. Till then, أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.